You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Reverend Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
So we invite your attention to John in the 6th chapter of John. You would do well to read at least the first 21 verses on your own, but for the sake of our text, we want to begin reading at verse 11 of chapter 6, where it says, "And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to him that was set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." I want to talk about leftovers. Leftovers. You know, leftovers are that uneaten, edible remains of a meal after the meal is over and everyone has finished eating. And leftovers sometimes will leave your home like they left mine the other day in aluminum foil and Tupperware. My children bring Tupperware to my house. And we have to actually sanction them and tell them what they cannot take, because I'm waiting on leftovers the next day. And I have found that sometimes leftovers taste better the second day than the first. Amen. I've been eating dressing for 3 days and I ain't got tired of it yet. Amen. Now, if we can consume them. If we don't consume them, we'll refrigerate them for later consumption. And restaurants usually have a container they call a doggy bag, but unfortunately, a lot of us don't have no dogs. Amen. But we still haven't put it in a doggy bag. And you know we're going to eat it later on. Sometime before we get home, good, we start eating in the car. Amen. I've watched lately after Thanksgiving, and everybody has had a wonderful time, the TV chefs and cooks, which such as Bobby Flay and Rachel Ray, Emeril Lagasse, and all of them and others have come up with some creative recipes for Thanksgiving Day leftovers. They come up with different things you can add to this, you can spice it up and make it better or different than it was before you throw it away, because after a few days, you're just about to got throw it away. The whole idea is not to be wasteful. Because when leftovers remain too long, they become garbage. And so Jesus and his disciples were out sharing the good news that the kingdom was coming. And a great multitude came and followed him because they saw the miracles which he had done of those that were diseased. So Jesus went up in a mountain place, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover feast was coming near, and Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw the great company come unto him, and he said unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And when we read of this account elsewhere in the Gospels, the disciples said, "Send them away." Amen. Send them away, because we don't have enough to feed them. But Jesus knew that they had been weary and that they had a great company and that they needed to eat. They needed the nourishment. But he says to his disciple Philip, "Where should we go and buy something for these to eat?" Now, they're out in the desert, out in the wilderness, and This he said to prove him. The Bible said, this is what he said to prove him, for Jesus had already made up his mind what he would do, because he knew everything. Nothing was hid from Jesus. He knew if anybody had some food, he knew it was. He knew if some of them disciples was hiding it, he knew that too. Amen. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not enough. In other words, 7 months of work and paychecks is not enough to feed all of these people, that everyone will take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here. Now, John is the only one who tells us about this little boy. Amen. There's a lad here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? We got some food here, but what is this among these people? It's about 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And if you look around here today and you see how many men in the church as compared to the women and children, you know it had to be thousands of people. Yes. 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. And it's 2 small fish, no doubt. And a barley loaf was not as big as your fist, a small little loaf of bread. It was the common bread of the people. It was not, it was just what they had. And he had had his mother, no doubt, had packed him a lunch. But the young boy was willing to give up his lunch because he heard that Jesus' disciples were looking for food. Yeah. 8 months' wages couldn't buy anything. And they found a little lad and they found him. And Jesus said, what do you have? Now let me use my imagination in this. And Jesus, I suggest this, and according to the scriptures, he's testing his disciples to see if he can count on them, if they know how to count. He said, what do you have? Well, we have 2 fish, 5 barley loaves. He said, count it again. Okay. Jesus, we have 1, 2 fish. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Barley loaves of bread. He said, get your brothers with y'all. Y'all need to count this again. So I can just see. I can see him saying, what are we talking about? I know how to count. 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. Well, do you want me to add them up? 7? 2 and 5 is 7? You know. So he gets with them and Philip and the rest of the boys, and they're counting, and they said, I think Jesus is tripping. You told him, right? That's all I see is 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. He said, what do you have? That's all I got. It's a test. I'll go back to him. This is what we got, Jesus. We got 1, 2 fish, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 barley loaves. Jesus said, count it again. I asked you, what did you have? He said, I got 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. He said, let me take it from you. Let me add it. He said, you got 1, 2 fish, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pieces of bread, plus you got me. Brothers and sisters, I'm trying to teach you as Christian how to count. Whatever God has given you, always add Jesus into it. That's the right way to count. Anytime you're counting and you are a child of God, you have to learn how to count the cost. Now, Jesus had taught his disciples this back in Luke 14, 26 through 35. He said, if you want to follow me, you got to carry your cross. But don't be fooled. You got to count the cost. For who would begin building a construction building, a project, and not have enough money to finish it? You got to count the cost. You got to see if you got enough. Otherwise, people will come along and see that you got the foundation but don't have the walls, and they will start laughing at you, talking about you had enough to start but not enough to finish. Count the cost. He said, well, what king would go to war against another king and he only got 10,000 men going against 20? He'd count the cost. And then he'd see that he couldn't beat them. He would form a delegation and to discuss terms of peace with the enemy while you're still far away. So you cannot be my disciple without giving up everything you own. You have to count the cost. You have to count me in it. As a matter of fact, count me in the beginning, count me at the end. You got Jesus plus two fish, five loaves of bread plus Jesus. That's what you got. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, what good is it? How are you going to make it salty again? Flavor of salt is neither good for the soil or good for the manure pile. It's not good for anything. It's thrown away. But God is not a wasteful God. He will not have his disciples to be wasteful as well. So they gathered up everything and they put it in Jesus' hands. Now here's the miracle. The miracle has come because they have given it to Jesus. They put it in his hands. And he has looked up to heaven and he has blessed it. And because he has blessed it, it began to multiply. Now I don't know how it happened. I wish I was there. And it's one of the things I want to talk to him about when I see him face to face. How was it multiplied? How did you distribute it? Some say that they broke off one piece and up popped another piece. I don't know if that's how it happened, but had the two fish and the five little barley loaves of bread, and they fed the multitude of 5,000 plus. Yes, yes. Now, that's not the real of the miracle. The miracle is that they were all filled. Everyone had enough until they were full. That's what the Bible said. When they were filled, after they had eaten everything and everybody was filled. And if you know anything like us, we got to go back for seconds because we wasn't full the first time. I watched them down in the kitchen. They go down there, get everything you want. You put the breasts and the wings on the plate and you got, give me some of that. And then they eat, then they come back for some more. Amen. Every time we serve, people come back for some more. And then they try to pump up my chef talking about, ooh, them the best mashed potatoes. How'd you make on them string beans? Oh, I don't know what you did with that. All in that macaroni and cheese. They're just trying to pump them up to get some more. Amen. We know how we do. Then they take some home. Now you know that if you've eaten downstairs in our kitchen, they don't have Tupperware, they got styrofoam. They got the containers. I've seen a whole lot of y'all walk out of here with them styrofoam containers with leftovers. Amen. To consume later on. So ain't nothing wrong with no leftovers. But Jesus said, I want you to gather up the leftovers. Gather up everything. Now, he wasn't talking about picking up the trash. He was talking about the uneaten part. Now, here's the thing that I need you to understand. Jesus could have fixed it where everybody would have had just enough because he's God all by himself. He had planned to have leftovers because God is more than sufficient. God always gives us more than he takes away. So it was his plan in the beginning to have. Didn't you read that? He said he knew what he would do. He knew there would be some leftovers. Now he's still checking their faith. He said, now gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And just to prove that it was a miracle, they gathered up 12 baskets. And that's another question. Where did they get the baskets from? Did each of the 12 disciples already have a basket? Was somebody selling baskets on the side over here? You can buy baskets. How big was the basket? I'd like to know. They gathered up 12 baskets. Yeah. Each disciple had a basket. Yeah. Did they put it on the boat? They didn't have no refrigeration. They didn't have no aluminum foil. They didn't have no Tupperware. They can't let it last too long. Amen. But it was miracle blessing. Yeah. See, this wasn't just no everyday fish and loaves. This was something that had been blessed by the master. Perhaps it could have stayed for weeks. I don't know. Because Jesus had blessed it. But anyway, they gathered it up because they realized the Lord had blessed it. Now, some theologians have suggested that, well, that's not what really happened. It was just a metaphor. And because it was a metaphor, he didn't really feed everybody. They didn't really do all that. They were just a symbolic meal, and they were saying that it was, they rationalized, and other people started bringing. When they seen the little boy bring out his lunch, they started bringing their lunches out. They just began to share, but that, no, that ain't even how it went. This was a miracle. So much a miracle that every gospel writer, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, records this, but John is the only one who tells us that the little boy was involved with the miracle. Leftovers. Enough for 12 baskets full. Enough for each disciple to take. Leftovers, because God does not waste anything. It's a good lesson to the disciples that the miracle did not take place when it was in the disciples' hands. The miracle took place when it was in Jesus' hands. That's why I keep telling y'all to put things in the Lord's hand. He multiplied the food. 12 baskets of leftovers for future use, because God wastes nothing. It's a practical lesson. The lesson is clear. Whenever there's a need, all you have to do is give to Jesus. Let him do the rest. Begin with what you have and be sure that you give it all to him. That's the problem. We don't give it all to him. Yeah, that's the problem I've seen. We don't give it all to him, and we don't always count the cost. See, we don't give him everything. Man, I've noticed that sometimes we learn, even in Sunday school, we learn to give God something. You remember the story I told you about the little boy was given 2 quarters, and daddy said, if you can take 1 quarter, you can go with your sister after church and buy some candy, but the 1 quarter you got to put in the church. And the little boy was fooling around and jingling them 2 quarters in his pocket together, and he poked a hole in his pocket, and 1 quarter rolled out and down it lay and rolled and went into the sewer. And the little boy, without hesitation, looked up to heaven and said, "Well, God, there go your quarter." And a lot of you are doing the same thing. I'm like, "Lord, I would have given you something, but you know the car note was due." Who made the car note? Yeah. I had to pay my cell phone bill. My Lord. Why should we give God leftovers when he gives us his best? We give the world everything we have, and then by the time we get saved, we want to give God leftovers. We give the flesh to the devil, the best of our years to the devil. A lot of us wait till we're old and gray and can't do nothing before we want to get saved. Some of us gave the Lord a snack when we were young. That's what they did. You give him a snack. Amen. You got in the choir, sung with the kids. You were on the usher board. You were doing your cheerful childhood and your tantalizing teen. You were found in the church, and you served yourself in the world. But then you reached the twisting 20s. Lord have mercy. Went away to college. Forgot all about God. Amen. I would strongly suggest that you would surrender the remaining of whatever years you have unto the Lord. And don't give him leftovers. Amen. God allows you to have the time in his service. Don't fool yourself. You don't know how much time you got left. Amen. You ought to give God your best while you can. And I'll tell you, when you take the whatever you have left, and then you put the ingredients of the fruit of the Spirit, and the joy, the peace, the love, the patience, the kindness, the goodness and faithfulness, it will give a spice of taste that tastes different in your life. A quarter teaspoon, a heaping teaspoon, a cupful of God's goodness will flavor your life. Amen. If you just learn how to give him. See, God give you more than you actually deserve. Yes, he does. Amen. We give the world the best of our years, our cheerful childhood, our tantalizing teens, our twisting 20s, thou thrifty 30, thou fortunate 40, thou fabulous 50, thou sinking 60, thou senile 70, thou aching 80, thou nocturnal 90. And if you make it to the hallelujah 100, God still wants whatever you got to give to him. All those who have wasted all those years, just like wasting a meal or throwing a good meal away. You've been giving God leftovers when he's given you his best. God gives you an ample supply of everything you need. Have you not read in the scripture what it says about what the Lord gives? He gives us everything that we need. God is a good giver. He gives us the many days that we have, everything that you have. Your next heartbeat belongs to the Lord. Your next breath belongs to the Lord. God supplies all of your needs. That's what the scripture says, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. What part don't you believe? God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Supply all of your needs. Now, it didn't say supply all of your wants. Because sometimes we have more wants than we have needs. Leftover food when you have been full and still ample supply. But we do the same thing when it comes to giving back to God. And I'm a witness. I admit that when I first began to tithe, I was not given tithe the right way. I was giving God my leftovers. Amen. If some was left over, I went to the tithe box. Some of y'all doing the same thing. After the paycheck, after you paid the house note and the car note, the rent, the light bill, the gas bill, if anything was left over, you trickled up here and you gave him what you really gave him was a little tip. You call it a tie, but it was really a tip. You know what a tip is. A tip is when you get good service at a restaurant. And that's 10%, sometimes it's 15%. And sometimes y'all give the waitress more than you give God. Amen. Well, just preach anyhow, Reverend. I was waiting for somebody to say that. Amen. And y'all kind of sleeping after y'all had all that food y'all had the other day. You know I'm a black preacher. You got to talk back to me. When tithing becomes a leftover, you're not doing it right. When you're living from paycheck to paycheck with nothing left over from the paycheck, something is wrong. Especially when you name the name of the Lord. 10% is given as an offering off the top. It may be a sacrifice, but it's given in faith. It's the first fruit. In other words, when you get your check, and believe me, when I tell you that if you work for anybody, they're going to take the taxes out of it first. Uncle Sam thinks he's God. He's going to get his first. And then somebody named FICA. I don't know who FICA is, but FICA going to get theirs too. So they're going to get theirs. But whatever you get, 10% of that belongs to God. And God wants to be given the best fruits. He wants to be given the first fruit off the top. Not after you spend everything else. He wants it off the top. And if you're not doing it that way, you're not being blessed by God, who said he can supply all of your needs according to your riches in glory. And he'll supply your wants too. Amen.
No, you're right.
Don't you realize that every time you stand and you say, especially at the 8 o'clock, we stand each Sunday and we recite the words to the 23rd Psalm. We're actually saying, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because if God is really the shepherd and you're really a sheep of the shepherd, he takes care of your wants. Have you ever noticed that? You say, I shall not want for green grass, because he maketh me to lie down in green grass. By the still waters, so I shall not want for still waters. And I shall not want for restoration, because he restored my soul. I shall not want for direction, because he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Did you get that?
Yeah.
I don't have to want for comfort, because his rod and his staff, they comfort me. I don't have to worry about protection because of the rod and the staff. I don't have to worry about nutrition because he prepares a table before me right in the presence of my enemies. I don't have to worry about healing and good health because he anointed my head with oil and my cup runs over. I don't have to worry about goodness and mercy because they're following me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm telling you, I don't have to want for nothing. Because the Lord is my shepherd. I approach him in faith. God would have us to be industrious, to be wise, to be frugal. That means that you're a little tight. Amen. You know, the problem is that we see everything we want, and the truth is, the reason we buy so much because we're trying to impress people who we don't even like. And they don't like you neither. But you want to impress them. I know that you like that diamond ring, and if you got enough money, go ahead and buy you a diamond ring. But who are you trying to impress with your ring? And you renting. And God bless you if you got a mean coat, but if you got a little hoopty out there, come on. Why is it that we're trying to live from paycheck to paycheck, don't have anything saved? That's what's wrong with us. Did you not know that the average person who retires from any type of employment retires with less than $10,000 in savings? That ain't no money to retire. You might as well keep on working. Because if you're waiting, you're going to get some Social Security, you might as well get that up, because that's going downhill right now. Now that Mr. Donald Trump is in the White House. Brothers and sisters, I don't think you use wisdom in what God has given us. I'm telling you, God has always given us more than enough. And why is it that some of us have got raise after raise, job promotion after, and we still broke? Because as soon as we get it, we spend it. Yes, see something else we want. The only reason we want it because he got it, she got it, I want it too. This ain't no competition. And the truth is, the people who see you got it, they don't care nothing about you having it. They know you got a Mercedes Benz, but they know your car note is $999 a month. Who wants that mess? You're living in a good neighborhood, but you ain't got no frontage in your house. Ain't nobody sitting on no beanbag no more. That's why you can't have no company over your house. Amen. You don't want them seeing that you ain't got nothing. God always gives us enough. It's what you do with it. It's what you do with it. Amen. I shall not want for anything. Amen. And then what it is about us that you got things but don't have no life insurance. Don't have no insurance on your house. Your house burned down. You got go GoFundMe page. This GoFundMe thing messing up a whole lot of Christians. Amen. 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 You know, I'm going to start a GoFundMe page, amen, because, my sister, she didn't have no insurance. We had to bury her and blah, blah, blah. Then we had to have a real nice thing. Go ahead and cremate her. That's the cheapest way to go. Amen. God is able to put her back together. I don't have no problem with cremation. Amen. Amen. It's better you burn up on this side than burn up in hell. Amen. If you saved, don't worry about nothing. God knows how to put you back together. He says in his word, every hair on your head is numbered. He know. Amen. He know when you got a wig on top of the hair he gave you. He know that too. Oh, I wish I had time to preach this thing today. I know y'all tired, amen, and want to go home, amen. Jesus was moved with compassion. He saw the people and he blessed the people, but he wanted to teach the disciples something about leftovers. Gather them up. We'll have them for later on. They'll taste just as good, even better later on. But he's also teaching us how to not throw things away. because he didn't throw us away. We're kept. Don't you understand we're kept? We don't have to be kept in aluminum foil or kept in Tupperware. We're kept by the power of God. We're kept till we arrive home safely in his arms. Amen. We're kept, and God knows how to keep us. Whether you realize it or not, if you've been born again, you are a miracle. You are a walking and talking miracle. He took something that the devil wanted to throw away, and he took the leftover that the devil left, and he turned it into something that God could use. You are a leftover, but you God leftover. I don't care what you've done in your past, and if you had drugs, if you smoked weed, if you drank liquor, if you got, I don't care. If you're leftover, you God's leftover, but he has saved you, and he's given you a new direction. You're somebody. And he'll never throw you away. He can supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. He can give you everything that you need. And supply some of your wants. The problem is some of y'all want too much. Don't know how to save nothing. Spend everything God gives you. Amen. Then you're old and you broke. And that's a sad description of a Christian. Amen. Don't have nothing. And you're trying to impress somebody. Get you some life insurance. Amen. Get you some car. Y'all driving around in a new car, ain't got no insurance. You done tricked them. You went and got some insurance. And as soon as you paid the first thing, you canceled insurance. And they ain't told the finance company yet that you canceled insurance. You driving around, don't have no insurance. Somebody steal your car. You don't have nothing. You know I'm not lying because I saw you doing it. So you come up in my office talking about, Pastor, pray for me. I ain't praying for you. They bring me everything. Amen. Amen. Somebody, Pastor, we ain't got the money to do this and that. And I said, well, who did you ask? Did you ask your family? No, my family ain't talking to me. Well, you need to reconcile with your family first. Why are you coming to the church begging the church to help you out when you haven't sought out your family members that you were raised with that claim they love you? And if you love them, can't they help you? Well, they broke too. Oh, y'all messed up. Y'all need Jesus. Remember how you count? Jesus in the beginning, Jesus in the middle, Jesus that. But count up Jesus. Put Jesus in the midst of it. Amen. Amen. Well, let me close then. God always gives us more than enough. The blessings of God are abundant. So are the benefits of the leftovers. At Calvary, when they took my Jesus and marched him up the hill with a crown of thorns upon his head and a cross on his shoulder. Yeah, they poured out his blood. He poured out blood flowed from his precious wounds at Calvary. They nailed his hands and his feet. Amen, and the crown of thorns upon his head. But there was enough left over of his blood to save my wretched soul. There was enough mercy left over to save me because his mercy endures forever. There was enough grace left over after Jesus died to make me a saint of God. I'm telling you, there's just enough of the leftovers that Jesus left us on Calvary's cross to save the entire world. All you've got to do is trust him. He died for us. They took him down from the cross and put him in a borrowed tomb, and he stayed there Friday and Saturday, but the Bible said early Sunday morning he got up from the grave. He only borrowed the grave for a weekend. He got up.
Come on, Doc.
With all resurrection power in his hand.
Leftover.
Yes, he lived forevermore.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what a leftover we have in Jesus.
Yes, sir.
After the cross, he left us everything we could ever have. Amen. The blessed leftover that feeds us. That gets better and better. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. I thank God for leftovers.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. And we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.